This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 24th of July, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green, and we've got a lot to talk about this morning. Let's start the show with a somber moment. This morning, we have unfortunate news, and we share condolences with the friends and family of Mr. Paul Farquharson, who passed recently. We say condolences to all his friends and family, and we take a moment to reflect on the contributions that Mr. Farquharson would have made to the development of the Bahamas. And in this moment, I want to remind us to take time and to allow and to help others to take time to hold grief, to deal with loss, and prepare themselves for a new life without their loved ones. Thank you for sharing with me in that small moment of reflection. We got a show full of news this morning. Two big topics. I've asked Mr. Newry to join me as we delve and dissect into what's been happening over the last couple of days. Let me start the show with our Sand Dollar live read. Tomorrow, Tuesday the 25th, and Wednesday the 26th of July, Central Bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Super Value, Wolf Road, and Montrose Avenue location. Show your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. The offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show their Sand Dollar-enabled wallet at each location. One top-up per person so as many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. 302-9880. And I'm encouraging everyone who hasn't taken advantage of the giveaway, the offer so far. This is the last week. This is the last week of this particular Sand Dollar giveaway. So make sure to take advantage. Get your $20 in Sand Dollars as you go into the store. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars and get $5 in Sand Dollars back when you leave the store. Again, this is the last week of this giveaway. And now on to our Sand Dollar on the clock giveaways to all of last week's winners. I haven't forgotten you. We're just working on a little technical issue. And your funds will be sent to you almost immediately. Well, definitely immediately. Listen, here's your first question for the day. What is the scientific name of soursop? What is the scientific name of soursop? Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and for people in the Bahamas, but not resident in New Providence, 242-300-5720, toll free, 242-300-5720. Oh, and the question is, what is the scientific name of soursop. What's the scientific name of soursop? So, Mr. Newry, two things on the table today. I think the first one is what's on the top of the news. We can save that one, right? That's the issue that you've brought. I've been wanting to talk about BPL for a minute now because I realize that a lot of people, when I observe responses to monthly BPL bills, I realize that a lot of people are unaware of what's happening to them. And like my friend Mr. Newry reminded me, a lot of people in the Bahamas, they see prices rising. They sort of grumble, but they're going to pay. Right? They're going to pay. Even when they don't know exactly what's going on.
You have no idea why.
Right. But what that does is it builds a type of frustration in people, right? Because they're paying, because they know they need the service, but they don't understand what's happening. And so I wanted to take a moment to reread, to go over the BPL fuel surcharge or fuel charge increase.
Mm-hmm. As if they forgot or we forgot the promise, the pledge to the Bahamian people, right? And say, from moving forward, there'll be no more. And every year they say that before the summer comes. And every year is load shedding.
Yeah. Got a text here. But all this corruption going on in our country, y'all talking about soursop though. Texter, I'd like to thank you for bringing that up. That's our sand dollar giveaway question for today.
They don't want to give away nothing?
No, they don't want the people to enjoy the things that are available to them.
Free $30.
In sand dollars.
$30.
Go to the food store,
yeah.
Buy some groceries.
Fish.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. I have the answer for you.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
The scientific name for soursop is Annona muricata.
You are absolutely correct.
That's Annona muricata.
Awesome. That's awesome. You gave the producer your information?
I did.
Absolutely. I'll contact you at the end of the show, and we will arrange the details for transfer of your $30 in sand dollars. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, very simple.
Imagine if we pay attention to the text.
Right. And you know what the funny part is? The text to give me the right answer. So to the texters that sent me answers, you know who you are. Once you haven't won the competition before, you will receive $30 in sand dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go, texter. Thank you very much. Okay. Dear texter, we're going to do a test. I test it now. Tell me if I'm clearer now, texter. Thank you. Someone listening on Cable Bahamas says it's not very clear. So Cecil, remind me, you got the headphones on. If it don't sound very, very clear, let me know while we speak in.
Okay, thank you. Now. Go ahead.
All right, so press statement on fuel charge amendments, October 4th, 2022. That would have been, I want to say preceded by, but one of the things we have to talk about today is the timeline, right? The timeline for when these decisions were made. On that same day that BPL released their press statement announcing the increase, we have a statement by the Honorable Philip Davis KC, Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, concerning the increase in fuel tariff being introduced by Bahamas Power and Light on the 4th of October. And I'm going to read from it. Today, BPL is announcing an increase in the monthly fuel charge. For a large majority of BPL customers who consume less than 800 kilowatt hours, the fuel charge is increasing by 2 cents per kilowatt hour, which will result in an increase this quarter. Remember, we're talking the 4th of October, 2022, this quarter of less than $20 per month. If your current monthly bill is $182 or less, you fall in this category. For those who consume more than 800 kilowatt hours, the increase will be 4.3 cents per kilowatt hour. The Prime Minister goes on to note that they intend, they raise the VAT ceiling from $300 to $400. So if your bill is under $400, you don't have to pay VAT on it.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, no VAT will be due on any electricity bills under $400,
mm-hmm.
which will take some of the sting out of the 4.3% increase for a great many BPL consumers subject to the larger increase. BPL will provide additional details of these changes, which phase in over time. The bottom line is that monthly bills will go up over the next several quarters before they begin to come down in 12 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in October, beginning of October, the Prime Minister announced the fuel charge rate increase amendments, right? The,
mm-hmm.
the policy.
Mm-hmm.
What people have been seeing is their bills increase. I want to use the word dramatically, although that's not mathematical.
And I want to pause you there.
Yeah.
What exactly is fuel surcharge?
Okay. So when you pay for electricity, when mm-hmm. you, the service sending electricity to your house,
mm-hmm.
you pay for the amount of electricity you consume. And then on top of that, you have to pay for the fuel required to generate that amount of electricity. Now, one would assume that the cost of the fuel is calculated in the cost of the service mm-hmm. as a whole, but it's not. I don't know when or how it happened, but somehow somebody convinced the world that an industry standard should be that you pay for the electricity and you also have to pay for the fuel needed to generate said electricity.
That sounds like two bills. Sound like two bills.
I don't care that it's an industry standard. Like, when I think about it, it being an industry standard sits far behind the idea that it's ridiculous. If I'm paying for a service, why wouldn't you just calculate the cost of the service?
Hmm.
Right? And as the cost of fuel fluctuates, it changes. But why is there... Why am I paying for electricity? And then you tell me, oh, wait, but you also have to pay for the fuel required to generate the electricity.
Mm.
I understand that somebody has to pay for the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you're going to pass the cost onto the consumer. I understand all of that. But why are you looking at me and telling me you have to pay for the electricity and you have to pay for the fuel required to generate the electricity?
So what determines the fuel surcharge? I know they set a rate.
Right.
But what determines it? To say, well, boy, it needs to go up.
I think the cost of fuel. Mm. So as the cost of fuel increases, the fuel surcharge would go up.
Mm.
As it decreases, it would go down.
Mm.
Okay. But didn't cost of fuel just gone down?
I think so.
So why the fuel surcharge going up?
Because the government had to create a mechanism to be able to pay off BPL's debts. That's all I could assume.
What?
Because if the fuel goes, the cost of fuel goes down, but the price you're selling the fuel to me at stays the same or goes up, it means that you are making more profit. What you're using the profit for? I assume you're using the profit to pay off the bills.
Hmm.
Yeah. See, the beauty of this for me is that for the last 10 years, in any opportunity I get in public discourse, public domain, the airwaves, I've raised the issue. What's going on at BPL? Why is there no clarity over decades? Why is there no clarity on what's happening at BPL? In fact, why is it so difficult to find basic information about BPL, like the question you ask, how is the fuel surcharge calculated? Which bodies are responsible for making those determinations? Are there procedures in place that require regular reviews of what fuel surcharge is. But in fact, I want to share with us today a series of statements after we go through the press statement so people can understand what's happening, give them the layout of the phases in which the bills are going to increase, the timeline, so we know when we expect them to decrease, right?
So question.
Yeah.
Are you saying that it's going to increase some more? We ain't at the max yet?
No, we are not. Let's see. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay,
right?
Appreciate that.
October 1st to November 30th, 2022, it went up to 12.5 cents for under 800 kilowatts, 14.8 cents for over 800 kilowatt hours, right? For the period December 1st, 2022 to February 28, 2023, it went up to 14.5 cents for under 800 kilowatts, 19.1 cents for over 800 kilowatt hours. From March 1st to May 31st, 2023, it went up to 16.5 cents for under 800 kilowatt hours, 23.3 cents for over 800 kilowatt
hours.
Why
it keep on going up, though? But if gas going down, the price of fuel is going down, why I keep on going up?
All right. One of the things the Prime Minister noted in that speech dated, the statement dated the 4th of October, 2022, is that the PLP administration, when it took power, knew that they had to make a decision, but didn't want to unnecessarily burden the Bahamian taxpayer and public at that time. And so they delayed, hoping. And now this is all my presumption, right? Because I haven't seen a very clear statement on it. Hoping that the Bahamian people would recover from some of the economic struggles they were having post-pandemic, right? So they delayed the implementation of the rate increase policy, which then put them in a, I imagine, I'm going to use the word, dire situation, where they needed over a short period of time to accumulate revenue.
So it's the delay that causes to have this high fuel surcharge?
I'm not certain.
Well, it's not the fuel.
That's what I can discern from the little information is there and the lack of information that exists. Well, but let's get back to the fuel rate increase. So we said from March 1st to May 31st, 2023, 16.5 cents to 23.3 cents. From June 1st to August 31st, 2023, that's the period that we're in right now, right? 18.5 cents under 800 kilowatt hours, 27.6 cents over 800 kilowatt hours. Now, for the next period, September 1st to November 30th, 2023, for 800 kilowatt hour consumption, it's going to stabilize at 18.5 cents.
Okay.
So it's not going to go up in the next period, but it's not going down in the next period either.
Mm-hmm.
But for over 800 kilowatt hour consumption in the September 1st to November 30th phase, it will drop from 27.6 cents to 25 cents, right? From the December 1st to 2023 to February 28, 2024, it will drop to 17 cents.
So when we start using less electricity, less power, it goes down.
Yeah.
So they're making a maximum amount of money now because they know their demand is real. And that more people will be using it, so they're able to make more money now.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that?
No, I wouldn't say that at all, because with peak demand becomes another risk. And that risk is that you can't provide any electricity. So I can't imagine that.
That's where the load shedding come in. Turn some people off.
No, man, that's not a policy. That's something that's just happened.
Load shedding is not a policy. They just warn you. They plan to turn off the light.
No, they don't. I mean, I guess they do kind of warn you. They don't tell you when they're going to turn
it off.
No, they
don't tell you when.
They don't tell you
when. It's a surprise.
When they're going to turn it back on. Anyway, so that is the rollout, right, of the phased increases and then decreases, right? Mm. And so what we're hoping is that we begin to see the decrease December 1st, 2023 to February 28, 24. But more importantly, Mr. Newry, that stops at 17 cents for under 800 kilowatt consumption and 18 cents for over 800 kilowatt consumption. But remember, October 1st to November 30th, 2022 period, the increase took us to 12.5 cents, right? And so I can read a bit more of the press statement from BPL, but the question is, when will we see a continued decrease in the fuel surcharge after February 28th, 2024, right? The statement itself, I printed the whole thing, the statement itself ends the phasing down. Mm-hmm. The chart ends, last date is February 28, 2024. But that's 17 cents. That doesn't take us back to where we started, the initial increase to 12.5 cents.
So we may never get back to the $14.
Well, certainly I want to see it in legislation. I want to see in legislation that they're going to take it back down to that and then make an assessment. And let me tell you why I need to see it in legislation, though, because I'm not feeling steady. I'm not feeling confident in IRCA's engagement in this subject. But look here, I got a caller on the line, and then I got 85, we got a bunch of texts to get to. So let's get to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Thank God for life, for sure. Shall pop you, and good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Blessings to you.
Blessings.
Yeah, blessings to you, too. Mr. Nuri, to get the final what that plane was about, because I heard on the news last week the Minister of Tourism say, not the Minister, but the...
Yes.
They're starting a seaplane thing?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that's what you saw when you say you was over Paradise Island?
Apparently so. Apparently so. Because it's strange to see a plane just land in the middle of the ocean.
And looking for duffels and drugs and stuff to be coming off or something
where,
like that.
Look where you going.
No, but, I mean, most of the people, when they hear them kind of things, they look for drugs. I'm not for people to be coming off. It's like a new thing.
Yes.
I mean, and so
we'll see how this new tourism thing goes and how it benefits the Bahamas. But clearly the Minister of Tourism is working.
Mm-hmm. Must be some avenue to make money or something for us as a country for them to do something. I don't think, I hope they ain't wasting our time, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I was trying to find out. I hear you talking about BC just now.
Yes, sir.
And I was trying to figure out if this out your pay grade or you, Mr. Neary, if you could have tell me this light bill thing with all us, who bill going up so high. Yes, some of us, we don't be able to never pay our bill in full, so we leave something on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these bills would like tripling up and doubling up would normally this happen. How much of this is because of the decision made by Simon Wilson, Minister of Finance, Prime Minister Davis? And this, I don't know if to blame it on the new board too. I mean, and how much our light bill going up high is because of Brave. Prime Minister, what I understand they did, they stopped the contract with what they call that group, the people who was managing the maintaining the generators, who we get the generators from. And I wonder if y'all could tell us the reason. Do y'all know the reason why they stopped the contract with them people? Why they stopped the agreement with the hedging? And is there any truth that this is the reason why our light bill, a big part of the reason why our light bill is so high? I can't believe Brave dude. I can't believe Prime Minister Davis dude. For the years we know him, we know him to be a caring person. I mean, I know he mightn't be electrical savvy like some of the people at BPL, but I mean, they get advices and stuff. Consultants, we paying $60 million. They say they with a consultants or something like that. So, Ms. Green, if it's possible, if you could break it down for us, please. It's just light bill what going up because of the hedging, the stopping of the hedging agreement from the former government and starting something new. And any information is there to say why they stop it? What is the reason they say they stop it and doing something else? And why are they firing people who are maintaining the generators? Them. I can hang up and listen if you have an answer, Mom.
Absolutely. Thank you, okay. Papa. Those are all excellent questions. I don't know if I can answer any of them today because I don't have any verified information in front of me. What I can tell you is that, no, I have not seen a satisfactory response or explanation as to why the fuel hedge mechanism was paused, right? Whether it was paused or if it was stopped. I also have heard what I will call anecdotal, right? Which is, it's not verified from an authorized government agency, cabinet, right? That indeed a contract was terminated or not renewed in terms of the maintenance of some of the equipment that we purchase. You know, one of the points that I'm making today is that there is not enough clarity on this matter at all. What I can say, though, Papa, is that we all should acknowledge that if there is blame, the blame does not sit solely with this administration, right? It's not only this administration. The second point I want to make is this, is that it's high time that the PLP and the FNM stopped acting as if they're right? Bringing this adversarial tone to the public domain. Both parties have been at the helm and have controlled the management and operation to the extent that they have control of BPL. One of the things, one of the questions I want to raise in the next topic is, what does, quote, at the minister's discretion mean? Right? And so both government and the quasi-governmental agency, both the Ministry of Works and the Cabinet of the Bahamas, right? And the BPL, the entity that manages BEC, the entity, they're equally culpable. Both parties are equally culpable. Successive administrations and opposition parties, right, are culpable. To allow the narrative to direct us to ascribe blame to one particular administration, I believe, thwarts our attempts at transparency and justice, I quote unquote, justice in this matter. Mm-hmm. Let me get to the text, though. I got a ton of text here.
Just read the text.
All right. Oh, wow. Text, at the end of the text, I'm going to read your text. Aaron, yes, I got your correct answer. Another text, CA, please don't question this great government. Just be quiet, sweat, and pay your bill. Good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Newry. Please, please don't cause Bahamas Air start charging for fuel also. Dear texter, did you know that that also happens in the airline industry? The next time you purchase a ticket, you look at the breakdown of the ticket. Look at what you're paying in fees, what you look at what you're paying for the ticket itself. Take a look at it. Take a look at the breakdown. Another text. Morning, Aaron. Is it possible to determine from your BPL bill whether the bill is estimated or the meter was read? I don't think so. I don't think so. Hi, Aaron. I'm late to the show. Not sure if you talked about this already. I am determined to go solar, but I hear it's difficult or very expensive to do. Can you feature what it takes for a homeowner to go solar? We also need to look into the law in relation to that, right? And because every homeowner needs to be tied into the BPL grid, if I'm not correct.
I would assume that the Minister of Transport and Housing would have made it mandatory for any new house, especially government houses that are under purview, to be built with solar. That's not happening.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm going to look for some experts in the field to come. Another text says, just because Honorable Davis is kind does not mean he isn't stupid. Both parties have made Bahamians' lives harder. Another text, Aaron, this fuel surcharge is just a backdoor tax with a different name implemented on the Bahamian people by the incompetent politicians. The government is so sly that they blame BEC management for the increase when it is known that whichever government is in power, especially the The Prime Minister has to sign off on these fuel charge increases. The quasi-government agencies do not work independently without approval from the government. Mm-hmm. And then what's interesting for me in this whole thing is when IRCA stepped into the conversation, but I got a caller on the line. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Morning. How are you?
You know, it's amazing. In 2014, I sat in a boardroom with a lot of high-powered business owners of all colors. And we asked the then minister about solar. And he said, be careful of your interpretation of the law as it pertains to making energy, quote unquote. I took that to mean you could be put in jail. Now, in Nassau, if your house is off of the grid, you have no problem with solar. But it's very expensive and you have to have batteries. And that is an environmental problem when you have to get rid of them. So grid tie is the way to go. The country should have had a smart grid. And solar could have been free, as Mr. Christie said, at the end of his tenure. He should have done it at the beginning. And the way it's free is you've heard about carbon credits now, finally. In 2014, we were saying, let's use the carbon credits to get a loan against the carbon credits. Not all of them, just a little bit of them, to get the solar, to put it on the homes in this country, for free, because you had a texter that said, how expensive is it? The solar on your house could be free. And I'd love to come on the show one day and tell you what I told everybody back in 2014 again. And I told Mike Smith, remember him, on another radio station in 1999. And I told Chrissy Love in 1995. I'm tired of telling people that you should not have a big electricity bill. If you could take that hot, hot sun, bring it in your house, Aaron, put it in your water heater, put it in your iron, because they hot, right?
Yeah.
And outside hot. You could do those things for free. And I'm going to leave you with this, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody were to turn off their water heater right now,
mm-hmm.
we would have one-third too much power in the country. There would not be one more load shed effective tonight. You could put your AC on cool. And your light bill would go down because we wouldn't be using so much fuel in those generators. We need a comprehensive energy plan and strategy, and it doesn't need to include any sunshine, sunny people, because we are tired of buying fuel at the poor people's expense. That makes sense to you, Aaron?
Not at all, but thank you very much, Graham.
So let me just get a two-piece and one Guinness and go to the beach. You have a good one, eh? Good show.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, Aaron, what are we going to do with the carbon credits again, or where is it going?
The last thing I heard the Prime Minister say in relation to that is, quote, a debt for nature swap.
Hmm.
A debt for nature swap. That's the last thing I heard.
Mm-hmm.
There may be more statements clarifying.
But I remember we was doing that analysis about the carbon credits, and it's going to be reinvested into the environment, the money. It's not necessarily cash money, but credit in order to protect the environment or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah, something to that effect.
Right. See, carbon credits, a country that sequesters, right, like captures amounts of carbon from the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
right? Countries that capture, the word they use is sequester, right, but capture carbon, pull it out of the atmosphere, you can get credits for that. If your geological features could provide that function, like we have ocean and seagrass beds under the water, right, that capture and hold carbon. So we can generate carbon credits for our use. It turns out that some large countries and companies are like, hey, if we get these countries over here that are producing so many carbon credits and we produce so much carbon, maybe we could work with them and buy some of their carbon credits from them, right?
How do we dollarize the carbon credits? Who sets the value to say, this is what I'm prepared to pay?
I have no idea. I imagine they're going to treat it like market forces.
Because we've been trying to dollarize this blue carbon of ours for a while. It'd be at least 2 years. We ain't get no carbon credits for it yet. I mean, coming. Money on the ground, it coming. Or money soon come, I think the singing bishop would say.
We
ain't reach yet.
I'm less concerned about that, and I'm more concerned about what the revenue will be used for?
Did they tell you it's going to be used for the environment and strictly for the environment?
No, they told me that the NIFA, the National Investment Fund Act.
Well, that's separate. That's for the land.
Isn't the land the environment?
No. The carbon credit is going to be used for the environment, and the land is the land. It's going to be, instead of being going to the consolidated fund.
I don't like that. Carbon credits should be used for whatever we want to use them for.
The government didn't tell me what they're trying to use it for.
Separate from carbon credits, large countries should be paying reparations for the damage that they've caused to the environment. My carbon credits have nothing to do with fixing the problems that you big countries created. That's not what the carbon credits are. I'm being technical, not political. That's not what the carbon credits are for.
Since you're being political, and let's go back to BBL zone.
The carbon credits are also not for paying the debt of politicians and poorly managed administrations.
We can be managing, purchasing programs from these big countries to be implemented back into the
Bahamas. Why would I purchase a program from a country that's damaging my environment? Why would I purchase a program to fix my environment from a company that's damaging my environment?
Imagine we are, and I'm using this word loosely, a clean country, environmentally clean country, which takes out carbon out of the environment, are willing to dollarize that and give it to countries and businesses who's polluting so they can continue to pollute and don't pay any costs. That is what you call ironic and scandalous. That we say, man, give me your $20 million for my carbon credit and you continue to pollute the world and now you benefit from it because now you have credit. Something is wrong with that. That's peculiar. And we're comfortable with that. We ain't holding them responsible to say, hey, you're still polluting, therefore you got to be taxed and penalized. We're willing to give them our credit so they can continue doing what... See, that don't make no sense to me.
Pause. Let's take this caller, and then we're going to go to a break and throw out the second question for the day. And then I'm going to go through some of the headlines, right? Because some of the headlines provide us with some information to begin to answer the questions that are proper raised, right? Very good questions. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron. I just had to let CA know. I've studied the CA. What happens is you burn $400 million worth of nasty, black, polluting fuel to make electricity. So if Germany were to put solar on every rooftop for free, they would get the credit from the nasty, polluting carbon diesel that you don't have to burn all day. And that's how you embrace and capitalize on carbon credits. They don't have sun in the winter. Is that clear? You get the free solar. They get the credit because they paid for the solar. And they get the credit from the carbon that is not used. And each solar system reports on the internet back to Germany and to you the CO2 or the carbon that was not burned.
So you're saying that Germany is producing a nasty coal thing, and they get the carbon credit, and they'll continue to produce the nasty coal thing, and we get solar.
Yes, sir. They will be able to run. No, see, the world is a collective now. You have to understand. What will happen is they don't have sun in the winter.
I'm talking about the fossil fuel they're burning.
Okay. They're burning 10 gallons of diesel today, and we're burning 10 gallons of diesel today.
No, we're not. We can't burn the same amount of diesel they're burning.
Okay. We're burning a gallon of diesel. They're burning 10 gallons of diesel today. We're both burning diesel. There's 11 gallons being burnt throughout the globe. What they can do is they can get rid of half of that diesel that we're burning, half that all the African countries are burning, half that the southern Caribbean countries and Mexico and anyone on the equator is burning. So they can get rid of collectively 20 gallons of diesel.
But let's talk about
putting solar.
Us and them. We are burning one, and you're saying that they can get rid of half ours to get half, but they'll continue to burn their 10. So now it's 10 and a half instead of 11.
So now, yes, around the planet. So they will get the credit for the half of the diesel that we're using.
Thank
but what
you.
If they do it for Jamaica? What if they do it for Cuba?
They can't take over Jamaica.
Thank
what
you.
They doing down there?
No, they can donate the solar for every rooftop. So
in
what
Jamaica?
Happens is they mitigate the carbon that's being burnt in Jamaica, in Haiti.
But well, let's talk about
Graham,
the Bahamas.
Graham, this is...
No, you have to use it as a collection.
Graham, this
you know
has
what?
Gotten... No,
wow.
No, Graham, it's gotten very complicated because what you suggested just now is that Germany would get carbon credits for reducing the amount of carbon that they produce. That's not how I read it. Countries that can capture, right? Countries that have geological features that can capture and manage carbon deposits, we call them, right? They generate carbon credits because of the geological features that exist within that jurisdiction. I thought that that's who generates the carbon credits. Why would I give Germany a carbon credit for reducing their carbon output? That's what they're supposed to be doing anyway.
They want to reduce it.
Why would I give them a prize for doing something they're supposed to do anyway?
That don't make no sense.
Surely the countries who have... it's the geological feature that captures the carbon that generates the carbon credit.
Aaron, before we change subject, I'm willing to say that if you add all of the Caribbean countries together, and even throw in one or two African countries, it still ain't add up to one Germany. See, this don't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
I got a text here. Texter, I'm going to... You asked me, the texter asked me if I know that you can't get carbon credits for land and marine areas that are already protected. I have to do some research. I have to go find that out because that couldn't make any sense. Because virtually all of the Bahamas is protected already. Those places that have the greatest capacity for sequestering or capturing carbon are areas that we've already identified as valuable and have already protected or have put in place the process to have them protected. So I really have to get verification on that text, but thank you. Another texter says, here's a little hint, consumers, turn off your heater. I turn my heater on in the winter for an hour or two daily. Now it's summertime, my heater is off completely, only if I'm going to wash anything that have elements, pulls plenty current. Bro. Okay, watch this, though. Some people, they have pumps. Mm-hmm. See, when you're on city water, you don't need your water heater on in the summer because those lines run fairly close to the surface of the earth. And the water tends to stay very warm late into the evening. But for people on a well, that's icy, icy water. Mm. You're pulling up from the ground. And then people have sanitary issues, right? Like if I'm cooking, I need hot water on demand. Mm-hmm. I don't need to just wait 30 minutes or wait 20 minutes for the hot water to heat up mm-hmm. when I'm about to engage in a task. But thank you very much. Another text, another person asking, how's your meter read? We don't see meter readers no more. I had a similar question because there's nothing on my meter that looks like it is digital or it has any type of smart capacity.
So they can read it from a distance?
I'm not sure. Nobody verified for me.
Well, I haven't seen a meter reader for at least 10 years, a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be there, but surely I should have, like as I traverse the roads, I should see them and say, oh yeah, they still read meters. I haven't seen one.
Yeah.
Surely they exist.
They must do. It's 2023. It's 2023. And we should have clarity on this matter.
Mm.
Along with all other types of matters. All right. So we started with a statement by the Prime Minister October 4th announcing the fuel surcharge. I want to read it. The fuel charge amendments, right? The fuel surcharge increase policy. That came that's simultaneous with the statement from BPL. If you want to read the statement yourself from BPL, it's dated October 4th, 2022 as well. Let's see, good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Good. Trust and hope that you had a beautiful weekend.
Yes, sir.
I hear y'all are talking about water.
No, we're talking about BPL.
Yeah, oh, you're talking with BPL?
We were talking a bit about carbon credits and BPL.
No, but I heard you say something with water because I have proof that water and sewage,
oh,
send me a bill.
Mm-hmm.
A house. I live in a house.
Right.
For $10,000.
What?
Not $10,000.
Yeah.
And they said, why did the bill get that high? Was they said, because the government told them during the COVID, they couldn't shut nobody water off. But if you used to me having a water bill for $140, $150,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden you see my water bill coming, one bill is like every 3 months they send a bill.
Uh-huh.
One was like $1,800. I have one was for like $20-something. By then, you don't think they should come knock on my door and say, at least, chief, check something. Something might be leaking, something
yeah.
happening
yes.
out of the ordinary.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They never came to me, but I have proof of it. This ain't no talk. I have the bills. Even though I've already almost finished paying it off, they made me get two independent licensed plumbers to run something all over my floor to see if any leak. They can't find nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still telling me I have to pay this money every month.
You
still pay my
regular bill.
My regular bill.
Do you know the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic?
Yeah, I know where they are.
Go check them out. Present to them the information that you have and ask them to give you recommendations on the way forward.
Because, I mean, it's really unfair. I don't see how in the world, if they didn't charge me for 2 years, I was paying the bill now. The bill was being paid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying, for 2 years, the corner motel can't buy $10,000 worth of water in 2 years.
I hear you. I can't make an assessment on that. They had a thriving business back in the day, but I appreciate the sentiment that you're sharing.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Again, look here, Eugene DePuch Law School.
To get somebody, because I think they owe me some money back.
Yeah. Yeah. And to find out if there have been similar cases that have gone through the courts and
there's
what the
somebody
rulings
else,
have been.
There's somebody else when I went there
yeah.
with the same problem.
Absolutely.
There was another lady with the same problem.
Thank you very much, caller.
All right.
Let's take the last caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. Morning, CA.
Morning.
Very interesting question that you proposed just now. In fact, this is a question that I also posed to BPL as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there was some time back when they talked about the introduction of these smart meters and everything, which requires them not having to enter your property, but they can sit in their car and actually take the reading.
Mm-hmm.
To the best of my knowledge, the meter at the place where I'm at has never been changed. It's still one of the old rotary dials and all that stuff. I've seen some of the new meters that are smart, that is purely digital.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is rotary, like the old meters, like what we've had from back in the 60s and 70s. So my mm-hmm. question then was, well, how can you guys read the meter if the meter does not appear to be changed? And the reply to me was that the meter that the person who drives through with the car is still able to read the meter. Now, I'm a highly technological person. I follow technology very well. And I can tell you, to the best of my knowledge, it just seems as if, because the bills that we receive, a lot of persons are still under the impression, and I'm one of those, that these are guesstimations that we're getting instead of actual meter readings.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the flip side, when they say that they can't access your yard and they have to disconnect from the lamp pole, you know that's a fee for that truck to come and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we got some improvements where in terms of that they won't come on a Friday to shut you off. They more move it to a Tuesday or Wednesday to give you enough time to actually get some monies in your pocket to come and pay the bills. So I applaud them for that. But I'm still up in the clouds trying to figure out how is it that they claim that they're reading the meter and the bill is still high, but, you know, it's just that I don't see any change in the actual or the physical meter itself.
Yep.
So that's something perhaps I know Dwight, I think, has them coming on his show tomorrow. These are some of the questions that they're going to be asked. And I think that they owe the responsibility to the consumer to actually come and prove that the meter that they are reading at their house is actually a digital readable meter from their cars, and they don't have to come on your property to read the meter. So we get an actual reading, as well as the monies that we're paying is the actual monies that we should be paying, and we're not being overcharged. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's a consistent question, and I ask the same thing. How is it that I now have a smart meter if the meter looks the same, right? It doesn't look like there have been any changes. If you're going to tell me that we inserted a device inside the meter to make it a smart meter, I would like to see what smart meters look like, what smart meters look like somewhere on the BPL website. Also, I want to make this note. Whoever's responsible for the BPL website, y'all call an emergency meeting right now and please sit down and review your website and ask yourself, does this make sense? Is it intuitive? Is it user intuitive? Is it user friendly? Right? And then ask yourself this, how do people find press statements? Right? Where's the link to take you from the homepage to press statements? Sometimes we're lucky enough that someone who has access to the website will post a press statement and include a link to it, but you can't go to the actual website and find the link. Yeah? These are just small things. If ever you get up in the morning and turn on your radio and ask yourself, why is Aaron on the radio again demanding the resignation of the Minister of Works? This is a part of the reason why. Because any minister coming in to a new administration and they volunteer or allow cabinet or the prime minister to thrust upon them the portfolio of Ministry of Works must know what's at hand as soon as they sit down at the table. So your assessment is not based on whether you could solve the problem. Your assessment is based on how you respond to the problems that you know and we know already exist. But the continual suggesting that A, there's nothing wrong, and B, if it's something wrong, it must be the fault of the immediate previous administration is no longer going to cut it. So let me just read through these headlines quickly to give you all some articles that you could take a look at to get a sense of the process of implementing the fuel surcharge increase policy and responses to it, and what's been unfolding at BPL since then, right? So we got the statement by the PM. BPL announces increase to monthly fuel charge, 4th of October. That's Guardian. IRCA promises active review of BPL fuel hike. Nassau Tribune, 12th of October, 2022. I want you all to note, IRCA promises active review of BPL fuel hike came out on the 12th of October, while the Prime Minister announced the fuel hike on the 4th of October, IRCA satisfied BPL made case for fuel charge hikes, 16th of December, 2022. FNM blasts government over BPL's $150 million arrears, 3rd of February, 23. PLP and FNM MPs trade blame on BPL, 13th of July, 23. And the list goes on. People, opposition to hammer government on BPL's $110 million, Nassau Tribune, 19th of July, 23. Restoration of power to North Andrus will cost $600,000, says, 13th of July, 23. BPL generator goes offline in North Eleuthera, 17th of July, 23. Sweeting seeks update from BPL on Eleuthera power woes, 19th of July, 23.
Okay. I know you want to get all that out. But before we go, because I see we're out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to say that the light bill is now more than what pensioners can afford. It's the entire pension check that is concerned. Social services need to interject. Whatever came about with the prepaid meters is as if they completely forgot that promise that it's going to invest in that. Apparently, we already have the prepaid meters, but no one has made the decision to implement it. I'm concerned.
I'm very concerned.
Yes. This has been On the Clock with Aaron Green. Next, we're going to be talking about, is Wednesday too late? We're going to talk about Mr. Keith Bell.
Later in the week, is Wednesday too late?
Yes.
All right.
We'll be right back with on Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nurin. Of course, Aaron Green is going to join me. Have a wonderful day.